Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. So without further ado, I want to introduce my guest for today. She is a jazz master, a clarinetist, just an all-around phenomenal artist. She's performed with some of the most world-renowned orchestras, and she is here on the SEO Queen Tech Show to be introduced to some and presented to others. No, none others than Doreen Ketchens. How are you today?
How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm happy and grateful. I'm glad to be here. So my first question to you is, why the clarinet?
It's everything's God anyway. I mean, you know, you think you know, and you think this is what it has to be, but God says differently. See, I was in fifth grade, and we were in the band room, and there were these beautiful pictures of instruments all lining the ceiling, you know, on the walls. And my eye caught the flute, so sleek, so silver, so beautiful, you know. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, man, I'm gonna play that, you know. Mm-hmm. But I never sat in the front of the classroom. I always sat sort of to the middle, you mm-hmm. know. And so when he started from a certain, you know, side on the front row, and he asked, you know, what do you want to play? And back then, I ain't gonna tell you what year that was, but back then they had girl instruments and they had boy instruments, you know, and the flute was definitely a girl instrument, even though there were some guys that played, you know, flute and some girls that played tuba, mm-hmm. but for the most part, you know, the flute was definitely a girl's instrument. And you know, there are a lot of girls sat in the front, so I guess the flute caught their eye too. So they were like, I want to play the flute. So by the time he got to me, I was like, nah, I don't want to play no flute. But the clarinet was right next to it. So I picked the clarinet.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So my next question to you is, you know, when you were going through school, what style did you learn as a youngster?
Well, you start, you know, learning in the band books. You know, ours was Learning Unlimited. I actually still teach kids on that, even though it's out of print. You know, before mm-hmm. they went out of print, I bought a bunch of different, you know, books. And I still teach out of that because it is just, it's like the perfect way, you know, to introduce and, you know, in a non-intimidating way, how to play. And so it's a book that each individual instrument can read from, but it's a collective thing. You know, that one, a teacher can teach everybody through the same book. And that teaches you how to form your mouth to play the instrument and how to move your fingers. And then it goes into different songs, familiar songs like Mary Had a Little Lamb and Jingle mm-hmm. Bells and
right.
you know, When Go Marching In and stuff like that. And then right. progress to doing your band concert And you do, you know, like Sousa marches and
right.
you know, written of. So that's mostly, you know, like classical and
Broadway. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how I came up. I mean, all through elementary school, junior high, senior high, that's what I was doing. Now, when I got to senior high, I auditioned for the performing arts school.
Okay.
And then, you know, then things got very specific, and it was basically classical. It was just classical. And that's what I did. And I was good at clarinet. I just was from the beginning. I was really good at it. So it was like, cool, because I was average at everything else, you know. It's like, you know. But at clarinet, I was like, whoa. So, you know, I just kept going. And I got into the performing arts school, and I did everything they told me to do. And, you know, there was very competitive, had a lot of auditions and a lot of competitions, and you know you're expected to be on top. And I was like, well, y'all can be behind me all you want, but I'm gonna do my thing. It's just, you know,
right.
It always worked, and it was amazing to me. You know, it still is. But Ellis Marsalis was the jazz teacher there.
Marsalis?
Yeah.
As in Bradford. Marsalis, yeah, Winton Marsalis.
Yeah. He was a jazz teacher. I wasn't in a jazz program, but you know the building was an old elementary school, so we all saw one another. We all heard one another and everything. And I used to practice in a broom closet because you know, all of the practice rooms and stuff were full. So I had, you know, talked to the janitor, and he freed up some space in the broom closet, and that's where I would play. Where it was in the front of the building, so everybody who entered and exited the building could hear me practicing. And Ellis Marsalis, you know, he heard me. He said, you know, you're really good. He said, you ought to try playing some jazz. And I was like, okay. Now, I didn't realize at this time that Ellis Marsalis started out on clarinet, okay? So he really knew what he was talking about. But that's what I did. I went and investigated, and I listened to these different recordings, jazz recordings.
How old were you when you started listening to those different jazz recordings?
I must have been about 16, maybe 17. You know.
Okay.
And I listened to them, and I didn't really care for, even though I respected their tones and their technique, it just wasn't where I was going, you know. Mm-hmm. And I felt as though I'd have to change too much to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a thank you, but no thank you kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, I think you're making a mistake, but okay, you know, if your heart's not in it, doesn't make any sense. Something like that, he told me.
Right.
I like tiptoed on his every word, you know. I mean, because he was my teacher too, because we were, you know, he was the ear training teacher also.
Oh, okay. So, okay. You had ear training in high school.
Oh, well, it was a performing arts school, so they were like getting you ready for all kinds of stuff you didn't even know existed, right?
Amazing.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity. Of course, as a kid, I didn't appreciate it, you know, but, you know, I needed to make my grades, so I did what I was supposed to do. That's how God works, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I got to college, and, you know, I was doing my classical, and I was okay with it. You know, I placed high, and you know, it was basically the same kind of thing, and I was learning new material, and I was good. And then they had this gorgeous tuba player. I mean, oh my God, this dude, oh my goodness gracious, you know, I had never seen anybody so gorgeous before in my life. And you know, my friend, she was very talkative, I was very private. But she was very talkative, and she had talked to him. And, you know, even when she told me, yeah, I talked to him, like, oh, my goodness. You know, it's crazy. But the band room was at the top of the stairs. It was in basically the attic. Mm-hmm. And her and I would go a little early because the only access stairs, you know, there was only one stair that would access that. So we go early just so we could watch the tuba player go up the stairs. So, and after he'd go up the stairs, then we'd go up the stairs, and, you know, we'd have our rehearsal and stuff like that. She told me, she said, you know, yeah, man, he eats lunch, you know, at a certain time and stuff like that. She said, let's go. And so she introduced us, and it was really cool. You know, very nice guy and everything. And, you know, we'd rehearse together and stuff like that. Not in the same room, but, you know, he'd be in one practice room, I'd be in the other. And he was playing classical too. But he also had a jazz band that he was dealing with. And it just so happens his clarinet player was, you know, really acting the jerk. So, you know, it was almost verbatim. What this man said, he said, you know, almost the same thing Mr. Marcellus said. And I was like, okay, sure. Yeah.
He was gorgeous.
Okay, yeah.
You're ready. You're like, okay.
I know.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
Yeah, I heard jazz before, but I didn't know nothing about it, you know. Yeah, I just started playing some songs with them and stuff. And I could read anything, but I couldn't improvise. You know, it's just improvisation was very, didn't come easy to me at all. So I just played the melodies and I'd play them really nicely, you know. And that's what we did for a long time. And he was so patient, you know, and I was cute and, you know, I had a nice sound and, you know, so it worked, you know, it worked pretty good. And, but I never really got to play with his band. It was basically just the two of us, you know, and then we, you know, added this tap dancer and, you know, it was the three of us and we were doing these wonderful things. We were doing gigs and all this other stuff. And, you know, that's how it started.
That's awesome. So, after, I mean, you're in this performing arts school and you joined this jazz band and you said at the time you weren't improvising. So how did you learn to improvise?
Oh, well, I met him in college and I didn't do jazz in the performing arts school at all.
Okay.
In college, I met him and, okay, you know, we just started going out on the street playing. I mean, you know, it's another thing, you know, we were walking on the street one time in the French Quarter and we saw some people playing music on the street. And he said, you know, we could do that. And I'm like, you must be crazy. I've been to college. I ain't playing no music on the street. But, you know, it was him. So I was like, okay. And there it went. So we started playing music on the street. And it's New Orleans, you know, and we were in Jackson Square and, you know, we were cute. We were playing and clarinet players from all over the world come to New Orleans, you know, with their instruments and sit out in the audience and size me up. And then they come and they say, hey, can I play a tune with y'all? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I play da, 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 da. And they go, and it just, you know, right before with you, you know, in that way. And, you know, you get tired of it. You just get tired of it. And you try to figure out ways to make it work, you know, or to, because it's just, it's a language. And,
you know,
like if you're learning like German or Chinese or something, the first thing you learn are words, you know, like nouns, you know.
Right,
what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, you understand a whole bunch of different words, but you don't really put them together, you know what I mean? And it isn't until you start actually learning verbs and, you know, stuff like that, and you're able to put these words together that you're actually speaking the language, you know? It's why you understand first, you know, you understand more than you can speak at first. And that's basically what was happening with that. And so he went on tour with this guy, and I was left in New Orleans, you know, for 2 weeks. And I was like, man, you know, he would never say I was disappointing him or anything else like that. But I just felt like I was letting him down, you know, because I wasn't up to par. And so he told me, he said, just go and sit in with a whole bunch of bands and, you know, see what you come up with. And I went to this place called the Palm Court Cafe, and there was this guy on a bandstand. He had a clarinet, he had a saxophone, he had all kinds of things. But, you know, he played the clarinet really well. His name was Pud Brown. And he's a really funny looking guy too, man. He was really short. He had white hair, you know, almost like he was a white guy, but he had like almost an afro, like a curly afro, like kind of thing. He wore these crazy looking glasses, and he's quite a character, you know. And but he was a very nice guy. He wasn't weird at all. And I would go and I would sit. I would listen. And you know, on a break, I asked him questions, you know. And he's like, "Well, you, what do you play?" I like, "Yeah, I play clarinet. And I'm trying to learn how to play jazz." He said, "Well, you should bring your clarinet." I'm like, "Oh, heck no, man! I ain't bringing no clarinet up." He said, "Really? You know, you sit your and we can you could sit right next to me, and I could show you some things, and you could learn on the spot, you know." And I'm like, "Wow, okay, thank you, God, I'm ready," you know. So, brought my clarinet. Then on the stage with him, just like he said, and he showed me some things and, you know, answered all of my little crazy questions. And I remember asking him one time, I said, "Bud, how do you do that? How do you know so many songs?" And he's like, "Well, yeah, you know, you make me learn, for instance, you learn how to play Amazing Grace, you know, like thousands of songs, because thousands of songs are like Amazing Grace, you know." He said, mm-hmm. "It's just like that, and it's just relativity. You just relate everything, and you're fine." He said, "You know what else you could do?" He said, "You find somebody you like and a song, playing a song you like, and you steal it." I'm like, "What?" He said, "Yeah, you steal it." He said, "You sit there and you record it and you know, put it on your tape recorder and you go back and forth, learning every note." He says, "And then you play it and you play it and you play it. And sooner or later, you know, you're able to play their solo, and it helps you learn other things." And I'm like, "Okay." So that's what I did, you know. And actually, before Lawrence came back home, off of his tour, Pud had stuck me out a whole bunch of times, so much so that I didn't even want to go and bring my instrument. And so one day I went to listen to him, and I didn't bring my instrument. And he's like, "Oh, that's all right here. You can play this one." And he gave me his clarinet. And I started trying to play his clarinet, and Pud was a circus baby, okay? Mm-hmm. He grew up, his parents were in the circus. So he was this little baby that was running around playing with different instruments and, you know, doing all kind of different things that right. any normal person would think was not achievable. But for him, there was no boundaries, you know. "Oh, let me play right. with this, let me play with that." So he could play any instrument. There was nothing you could put in front of him that he couldn't play. And, you know, he had a lot of other that circus stuff too, you know. But so he had notes on the clarinet that he just didn't use. So uh-huh. he took them off. He just took them off. If it was a key he didn't use that much, he took it off. If it was a key that had a hole that you had to cover with your finger and it bothered him, he just plugged it up. So when I got his clarinet, you know, I didn't notice this stuff until I started playing. I'm like, "What the heck?" Yeah, the keys were missing. Dude. Ooh. But yeah, needless to say, I brought my clarinet the next day. That was it. But yeah, and that was the start of it. That's how I learned to improvise, because mm-hmm. I found a clarinet solo that I liked, and I learned it note for note, and I played it over and over and over and over again. I mean, so I played it a whole bunch. And so when I went to sit in with people, you know, they say, "What do you want to play?" I'm like, "Well, I learned Sweet Georgia Brown." And uh-huh. they say, "Okay." I said, "Sweet Georgia Brown." And, you know, they get a little cute girl solo and go, kill it, right? And they'd be like, "Oh, take another one." Like, "No, I'm good." I only learned it one time through.
Right, right. And,
you know, and it was a great solo. And they didn't know it wasn't mine, you know? So it's like, "Man, that girl is great. Man, she plays like she's been here before." And I'm like, "Well, it wasn't me, but it's all right." So, after a while, I play it and I...
Sweet Georgia Brown, I'm trying to remember that song goes... Da, 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 something like that.
That's Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, the Harlem Globetrotters song.
That's it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, you know, I'd play that solo all the time, and I'd just play it. And after a while, I was like, you know, let me try something else. So I'd use it like a bridge, you know. I'd play the solo, and then I'd jump off of it. And then when it wasn't going so right, I'd jump back on the solo, you know what I mean? Then I'd jump off again. And after you do that a few times, you start actually opening
getting that, ideas.
That, yeah, opening that back door that you couldn't open before. And then all of a sudden, all of the verbs and adverbs, you know, and stuff start flowing out, and you actually start speaking the language instead of just
words. That's awesome. So by the time you were in college and you started learning to improvise, like, what basically got you to, like, okay, I'm gonna go on to the street in the French Quarter and I'm just gonna be a force out here? How did that come about?
The tuba player. It's all the tuba player. I kid you not.
The gorgeous tuba player.
The gorgeous tuba player. I mean, I was like, oh, whatever. Okay. I mean, I'm glad he wasn't a pimp. You know what I mean? Because I was right. Just like, some spell. I kid you not. It was ridiculous, you know? But that's how God works, you know? That was the journey. You know, the journey was, you know, meeting him and starting off in that direction. And it was cool. You know, well, what happened was I went, we were both at Loyola and we had some really good scholarships, but if you've ever been to college, you know that your scholarship stays the same, but tuition keeps going up. And so, as upperclassmen, you know, we tried to get more money and they don't respect upperclassmen because they figure you're locked in, you're not going anywhere anyway. So right. We started auditioning for other schools and I got some really good money from the University of Hartford. So I went there. And someone stole my car while I was there. And, you know, he was worried about my safety. So he came up and we started living in Connecticut. And he started, you know, he borrowed a tuba from the school. And that's how he would practice. And his family was painter contractors. So, you know, he painted and stuff like that. And I cooked because I was in Connecticut and I was from New Orleans. And I was cooking, so there were jobs everywhere, you know.
Right, right.
And we started a band out there, and we would, you know, play for different events and stuff like that out there. And we were doing okay. I mean, yeah, it was great because we had our music and we, you know, had our other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was going to school. But then his father died. Mm-hmm. And then a month and a day later, my father died, and we were just sitting here thinking, you know, how horrible our mothers must feel, you know, because they were there by themselves, because they both had, you know, long relationships, and now, you know, their better half was gone. So, you know, we stressed about it for a little while, and then we were laying in bed one night, and, you know, he said, "You know what? I sure like some beignets." And I'm like, "Yeah, and that coffee at the Cafe du Monde, that would be cool." He was like, "Yeah, we ought to go get some." Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, you answered my other question. My unspoken question. So my next question is, how did you start using social media to amplify your reach?
You know, even though we were doing recordings before the pandemic and stuff like that, I really, you know, it sort of snowballed after the pandemic because, you know, everybody was inside and, you know, a lot more people discovered us. But before then, it was just making recordings and, you know, trying to get them out there. So, you know, when we go out on the street, for example, we film it and put it, you know, like, put it out there. I don't even think, in the very beginning, we didn't do that. I mean, since YouTube, and I think I got a Facebook account, 2012 or something, I'm not sure, but started putting it on Facebook and people liked it and, you know, it just, you know, grew from there. That's all.
Okay. That's awesome. So what strategies did you use to, because I think I saw you, the first time I saw you was on YouTube. So when did you start your YouTube and how did you, like, what strategies did you use to get more visibility? Because I've looked at some of your videos and you have millions of views on them now. So when you first started out, like, what was your thought? What was your approach?
Well, a lot of those, well, some of those, let's see, only a handful of those million views actually came from us. Most of them are from other people, just people who saw us on the street, recorded us, and say, "Hey, check this out," you know. And that's how I actually started saying, "Wow, I should be." Because one video had like 28 million views, right? I'm like, and I read and they said, well, you get, a certain amount of money for views. And I'm like, well, dang, that should be, that's me. But I'm not getting anything. You know what I mean? So I started reading and understanding and discovering. And, that's how we started the YouTube channel, which only has been in existence for, I don't know, a few years. And it's only been monetized, not even a year now, So I'm kind of slow, but sure. But
But
it's other people. Other people just, because we're in a public eye, we're on the street and people will film us. They put it out there, and sometimes a group of people will, to catch on, it'll be on somebody's thing that had, billions of followers or something, and they comment on it, and that's how it happens. And it would be great if that happened for every single video, but it'll come.
Oh, that's awesome. So, what are your like goals for the future? Like, where do you want to take clarinet? Because I have to tell you, like, I've never heard anybody play clarinet like you. So what's next for you?
Well, one of my main goals is to realize my self-worth. That's the biggest thing. And my husband tells me all the time, he's like, "Girl." By the way, that's that tuba player.
Okay, husband is the tuba player.
40 years, and back then, it was really cool. You're truly blessed. I mean,
That's
but
incredible.
yeah, it is. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, he's my best friend, and it's just been wonderful. You talk to people and you're like, "Oh, we've been through rocky roads and all this other stuff," and but it's never been against one another. It's always together handling this and handling that, and it's living a dream. It truly is. And the music, is like the icing on the dream. It's just, it's amazing. And I was talking to somebody today. This lady, she was working for the water company, and then she decided for 20 something years, and then she decided, this is not me. I'm a people person. I love doing things. So she decided to go into being a medical assistant. And there she was. She was working in the hospital. About to go and work under the main doctor in the hospital. And I told her, I said, "You got to realize your self-worth, and you gotta, and I could tell you're grateful, for what you've done. Already you haven't been afraid to take that move." I said, "And you'll do well. You'll do really well." I said, "Sometimes you'll do so well you'll feel guilty." I said, "But don't, don't think you're not deserving, because you are." And she's like, "Oh, thank you so much. I really needed to hear that." I'm like, "Yeah, I needed to hear it."
I know that's great. So, before we go, I want to ask you one more question, but before we do that question, I want to know how can people connect with you online?
Oh, well, it would be nice if I even knew. I think it's Doreen's Jazz. Well, the website is doreensjazz.org. So it's DoreensJazz.org. And the YouTube channel is Doreen's Jazz New Orleans. I know that. And the Facebook, there are several Facebook channels. I mean, and I didn't create but two. The one is Doreen J. Kenju, which is supposed to be my personal page, but it actually is my page that I do everything on. And mm-hmm. then there's a fan page that's Doreen Ketchins without the J. And mm-hmm. that's the fan page. But, you know, I actually go from the Doreen J. Ketchins to the fan page. And, you know, so it's the Facebook is just amazing. It's just absolutely mm-hmm. amazing. The YouTube is becoming amazing because, you know, we got a lot of subscribers now. And, you know, I'm getting better at doing things and posting mm-hmm. things. You know, I mean, at first I was doing these posts. Now, forget it was on. Like 2 hours long. Ain't nobody gonna be listening to nobody but 2 hours on the same thing. So, you know, I've shortened them and it's a learning experience and I'm not that good at it yet, but I'm trying. I'm really trying.
Oh, that's awesome. So my final question to you is, how do you shift your mindset to put yourself out there? And, you know, for those entrepreneurs and musicians and artists who are listening, like, how can they, you know, recognize their gift and really, you know, double down on that and really, you know, put it out there?
Well, you know, it's like the deep water, you know. It's not necessarily being afraid to go there, because you have to consider survival, you know, paying bills and all this other mm-hmm. stuff. You know, you gotta try and make time for what your heart wants to do. And if your heart wants to play music and be a musician and be successful at it, then you gotta work towards that in the space that you have, you know, to work towards it. I mean, we basically stopped everything and just started this. And, you know, by the grace of God, it worked. I mean, it didn't work overnight. I mean, the mm-hmm. struggle is real. It worked over the course of time. And it got bigger and better. You know, you have to be patient and you have to continue to learn. You can't just think, oh, I'm there now and I don't have to learn anything else. Because people will tell you, oh, you're the greatest and all this other stuff. You can't believe all that stuff. You know, mm-hmm. your standard has to be higher. So as long as you keep your standard, you know, keep upping your standards mm-hmm. and working towards a wonderful goal and realize your self-worth, because I say that a lot because I'm talking to myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to ask for it. I mean, just don't. You know, I mean, everybody's going to try and talk you down to, you know, some little penny any money to save themselves some money. But if they really want you, you know, they're gonna get you. And if you're really, really good, they're gonna pay for you. They just will. You just have okay. to know it, you know.
I love that. Love that. Well, I am just so grateful that you're on the show and took the time to come on to the SEO Queen Tech Show. It has definitely been a pleasure and a privilege for me. And, you know, I think your story is so inspiring, because as entrepreneurs, you know, we want to get, you know, more credibility, visibility, and profitability. And your attitude as a student is definitely inspiring. And I just want to say thank you again. So you've been listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show. It's a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We're broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to this show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift, you can always go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. Don't forget, July 23rd, Saturday, we'll be in the beautiful city of Long Beach at the Long Beach Hilton for the Reach More Clients Power Conference. So I want to thank you again, Miss Doreen Ketchins, the queen of the clarinet, the jazz master, the incredible musician who married that gorgeous tuba player. I just love that story.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is wonderful. And Thank you for your patience and everything. You know, these impromptu things work much better for me than, you know, a lot of planned things. I really, really appreciate everything you've said, you feel, having me here and all of that. It's just, you're inspirational. I mean, really, you know, I mean, and what you do and the people you reach and the people you touch and inspire, I admire that. And I'm shooting for that too. That's one of those goals.
Okay, awesome. So I have a question for you. Can people purchase your music from your website?
Yes. You can purchase physical CDs or downloads. There are videos as well. There's information about us, you know, if you want to read about us, pictures, lots of pictures. And we're going to start something where, you know, all of the subscribers every month, we're going to give them something, you know.
Okay.
So
that's awesome.
I'm working on it.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you again. And until next time.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. And traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. And traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.